President Obama was in Indiana this past weekend. He didn't stop in Terre Haute, but if he did, what would you ask him and what would you want to tout about Terre Haute?
My biggest question for the president and all of our federal government is, what can we do to get people back to work? You know, that's really the key. We're struggling with that here, and we are across the state. I know they claim the unemployment rate's going down. I think it probably is a little bit in some sectors, but I think there are people not looking for work either. They've kind of given up, and we've got to find a way to get people employable again and get them back in the workforce. So that's my biggest thing that I've got with the feds right now, is just find out a way to, let's get a plan in place and get people back to productive activity. And so that's what I would talk about. If I was touting Terre Haute, it really just boils down to, we're in a great physical location here. I know we talk about that a lot, but we're right in the middle of the population base of the entire Midwest. A lot of positive things happening here. It'd be a great place for people to come and do business. And there's plenty of, you know, we've got employees, we've got infrastructure, we've got education. You know, we have a lot of those amenities that I think many communities would love to have. We've just got to continue to tout that and sell Terre Haute.
Speaking of the economy, we've been talking about we talk about this a lot almost with every mayor, but I feel like we have to, the business personal property tax, but you've been essential on this because you've been on the study commission.
The interim study committee. Yeah.
How's that going, or what's the, you've met twice.
Right. Well, the first meeting, we talked and heard a lot about how well Indiana ranks against the other states on our tax climate. Good information to have, because it's across the board. We really rank very well in all the categories, and when you bring it all together, some say we're the fifth best tax climate, some say sixth, but whatever, we're in that top 10. And then the second meeting we had was more aligned with people sharing to us about the issues, the loss of revenue, especially from the property tax caps, have hit not only local government, but schools and just everybody related to this. And so it was kind of an interesting dynamic. So I think we've kind of heard how well, you know, and the structure is, and then how it's affected municipalities and schools and everybody else. Now where do we go? If we're going to make additional changes, it's going to put more pressure on local government and those that are delivering government services in Indiana. And is that the right thing to do? And so our third meeting, which will be later this month, hopefully we'll be able to start talking about specifics. I think everybody agrees we want to simplify the tax system in Indiana. That's a big part of Governor Pence's plan. That can tie right into this. I just am hopeful still. I know I say that all the time because I really believe that the legislators want to do the right thing, keep making Indiana more competitive, but we can't do it just at the expense of cities and towns and local government. How do we get there? I don't know yet, because there hasn't been any specifics rolled out about what a legislative strategy may be. We know where we're at right now. We know that it's optional to eliminate the tax, and I'm not sure I know of anybody yet who's going to employ that. But the next step will be, let's make sure we're looking down the road here, and we're looking back a little bit too while we're doing that, to say, what did those things, those changes that we made in the past, how did it affect us today? And if we're going to move forward and do something else, let's make sure we know what those ramifications might be from those decisions.
Is there still that a possibility that the business personal property tax, is all the controversy surrounding that, will that just go away?
I don't know. I don't think it'll go away, as I really truly believe that the goal is to eliminate it. That's mm-hmm. what we keep hearing. But we just have to find a way to do it the right way, that there is replacement revenue. Nobody's going to oppose it if there's replacement revenue. It'll be mm-hmm. just fine. But we can't give up another huge source. And in this case, what they're telling us, it's even more money than what the property tax caps were. Now that varies from community to community, but they're talking about $1 billion that's collected in business personal property tax that would go away on top of the $700 to $800 million that's already gone away because of the property tax caps. So you're approaching $2 billion of funding that used to run government every year.
Is there a timetable set for this, or what's next, I guess?
I think what's next is this next meeting we have towards the end of the month will be an opportunity for us to all weigh in on this, what we've heard, what we think, where this might be going, in order to prepare something to give to the legislature, the study report that's due the 1st of November. What's in that, I don't know yet. I just know that people have been very open-minded so far. I've listened to a lot of data, listen to a lot of pleas from, let's just make sure we do this right if you do something, to you know, we don't know what the governor's specific agenda is going to be or the legislature, but we know this is still going to be out there on the table.
You did mention about the push by the governor to simplify the tax code as well. What's your take on that, and how does that affect more clearly the business personal property tax?
Well, I'll give you one example. When you look at local option income taxes, you know, there's a variety of them. COET, EDIT, CAGIT, public safety. There needs to be one. There really just should be one. And I think that goes right into what the governor's talking about. He's looking at just filling out tax forms and things too. But that would be a really important thing. Anything we can do to streamline government, make it easier for people to understand where their taxes are going, how they pay them, and all that only makes sense. I mean, it's too bureaucratic. So that would be an easy one to fix that might tie directly into this business personal property tax, because if we can clean up the local option income taxes and have one in each county, make it clear to everybody what it goes for, instead of if you pick this one, it does this, if you pick this one, it does that, it gets confusing to people and they don't know where their money's going. And so let's simplify not only filling out tax forms and cleaning that up, but let's clean up some of the taxes that exist now so people can better understand them.
The Supreme Court announced that they won't hear the gay marriage case in Indiana, putting many of the appeals court's ruling into effect. Just curious your take on today's big news from the Supreme Court and how that affects Indiana.
Well, you know, at some point the Supreme Court's going to have to weigh in on this. It's a mess. I mean, it's clearly from state to state. And then when you get in the states, if they do allow something to happen, there's always controversy about how they do it. From county to county, it may vary. There needs to be a uniform approach to this. And, you know, I'm sure there's more states coming down the road here that there's going to be appeals made. And so I find it interesting that they punted on that right now, you know, using a little bit of football lingo, because there needs to be some decisions made, and it just needs to be cleaned up and dealt with. And it just continuing to not address it at that federal level, I think, is difficult. And because states are going to be all over the place. You're going to have people doing a variety of things with no consistency, and then states can't even compare and see if it's, you know, reciprocal. And so I think it's very confusing right now, and it needs to be straightened out.
I think we've seen this issue as it's come up in the past, that it also plays out differently throughout the state as we talk to different people. What's the feeling or sense here in Vigo County or in Terre Haute on gay marriage?
I think people, you know, you've got two factions. You've got clearly people who just believe in a man and woman, and then you've got others saying, well, what's wrong with that, because it's only fair. You know, it's a discrimination issue or whatever term you want to use. You know, I'm always one that goes by the law. So whatever the law is, that's what I'm going to follow. And you know, in Indiana is no different than any other state. They've got to decide what they want to do. But from the federal level, if you're going to have 50 states doing a variety of things, you need some consistency. And that's where it's going. That's where it's at. And they've decided to not weigh in right now. And so I think in Vigo County, you know, I would say it's really hard to tell what you want to put a percentage on it. But you know, there are folks that are they want that to be able to happen. And there's other folks that are totally opposed to it. And I think it all depends what the actual final solution is, whether people will be able to live with it or not. If, you know, you hear about, you know, whether it's a civil union or whether it's actually marriage, and I understand all those legal issues that come with it. If people, you know, somebody dies and divorces and all that stuff gets kind of complicated, that's why there needs to be one uniform approach to this. And the feds are going to have to decide on what, you know, the Supreme Court specifically is going to have to say, we have to answer this for the states.
I see you've scheduled some wellness events in the area. It's part of an initiative through your office. Where did that plan start from?
Well, we've had a lot of discussion in the community about really how poor our health is here for years. And several groups have really took an initiative to do some things. And I wanted to kind of do the same thing. I really wanted to raise awareness. That's what it's all about. Just getting people to stop and think about anybody can exercise. Anybody can eat more healthy. It doesn't really take a lot. And so I wanted to do something this year to kind of set a tempo for future years. Let's get people just at least to go out and participate in something maybe you've never done before, to be active. You know, get off the couch, get up and do something, eat more healthy, and it will lead to a better life for you as an individual.
And you had one of those events this past Saturday. How did that go?
It was cold and very windy, and the river rose because of all that rain we got the other day, so we had to cancel some of the activities that we were going to do on the river. But it was really pretty well attended considering, you know, the weather conditions. It was our first one that we want to do every year. We're going to move it up next year when we know it'll be a little bit warmer. And the goal is twofold. One, to get people to come to Fairbanks Park, come to the Wabash River, but two, then find some different ways to be more healthy. So we're going to bring that back next year and just move it up a couple of months.
This Twitter question kind of goes along with that. They've been biking more this summer, and they're wondering what the future would look like for north-south bike routes, and will the Brown Path be expanded?
You know, we've got some smaller pieces in our 2 or 3 year plan that we're going to do to mainly connect some pieces that are not connected very well. There's a bigger goal in the county to then connect our trail system. We've got nearly 36 miles of trails just in the city. We want to begin to connect to some things in the county. And so those will be county-driven projects, but that's where you'll probably see some of the emphasis over the next 5 to 10 years will be some extenders to carry out to St. Mary the Woods, hopefully at some point get to the Industrial Park South. We'd like to go out east and pick up some areas out there. And so as a community, I think that's where you'll see the bigger, more trails coming in besides the connector things we're doing in the city. We want you to be able to get around and get to as many places as you can, but you know, it takes time and it takes money, and we just want to continue to make sure we're doing it on a constant basis.
And then I see construction on Cherry and Mill Streets beginning again this week. How's that coming along?
It's on Ohio Street and Cherry,
okay.
Yes. The rain set us back a couple days. They are paving Ohio Street, which is, you know, a major thoroughfare in the city of Terre Haute, and then Cherry Street, which is another major thoroughfare. It'll be done. So this week, both of those projects will be completed. Depending on the weather. And then out on Wabash next to the stadium, we'll be wrapping that up next week. So it'll be open for the homecoming this coming Saturday, but then it'll be finished the following week.
But there might be some traffic and parking restrictions to watch out for.
Yes, people just need to be wary of that. You know, a little bit of progress, and it creates some issues while it's happening. But if people just bear with us for a few more days, we'll wrap those up.
Any other updates on road repairs?
Not really. Margaret Avenue is kind of in a state of on the east end out by 46, and in that 7th to 14th section, work is underway. It'll be inconvenient for the next year or so on those. Those are much bigger and major projects. But most of the rest of it, the rest of the year, will just be neighborhood paving and some other city streets until the plant closes and we shut things down at the end of November.
And it's been a while since I've asked you about just downtown developments, too. And one of the big ones was the new ISU housing project on Wabash. How's that coming along?
It's going along very well. They've got the first two residential floors above the commercial floor. They're putting walls up. I would hope that in the next 30 to 60 days, they'll be able to get the rest of it built so at least they can enclose it for the winter. That's the goal. It looks great. It's going to be a huge... It's a game changer downtown for us to bring about 270 students to live right there on Wabash and that new commercial space. We're really excited about that project, and it's just great to see it going up. So a lot of people coming home for a homecoming this weekend will see that new project and see that progress continues downtown, and it's just more exciting all the time.
I think I read a report too where is it the Statesman Towers are slated to come down?
Yes.
Eventually, so it's kind of out with the old and in with the new.
Yeah,
huh?
You know, those were, they decided it wasn't worth putting the money into, and that makes perfect sense, and they're going to go ahead and get those demolished. But what that means is that housing continues to spread away from the campus, and that's good for our downtown area. It's good for the private developers on the north side of the campus who continue to build new housing, and you know, kind of everybody wins with that. So you're kind of moving away from the government-provided significant housing that ISU used to provide to them being a part of it on campus, but there's also on the perimeter of the campus, there'll be some public-private partnerships.
You mentioned it's homecoming this coming weekend, so alumni who may have been out of town for a while coming in to visit, what would you recommend them see if they haven't been to Terre Haute in a while?
Sure, and that we hear that from a lot of people who haven't been here for many, many years. You know, really to enjoy that downtown area, see the progress that's been made. ISU's campus, obviously, has changed tremendously over the last few years. There's a lot to see here. The Wabashiki Fish and Wildlife Area across the river, Just there's so many things. The new track that ISU has built up here, they can see all those things. The football team is playing very well right now. We're 4-1 and play Illinois State for homecoming this Saturday, which is another ranked team, be the third ranked team in 3 weeks for us to play. It's just an exciting time. Things are going great. Things are going great on the campus with enrollment. It's just a really positive and exciting time in Terre Haute.